Right. Are we all in here? Can't ever tell. So on Monday we looked at, as we think of this whole subject of lives with purpose, we talked about Mein Kampf, a purpose that you embrace for yourself. And when you have the right purpose at your core, the purpose of knowing God, there's so many things that come right in our lives. And then yesterday we spoke about purpose in singlehood and the tremendous opportunities that we have for as many days as God asks us to be single. And I appreciate Brother Leonard's perspective as one who's seen a lot of things in life. And I appreciated him being willing to share those things this morning and lift up the sanctification that God wants to bring into our lives in marriage. So heartily agree with those things and affirm those things. I have seen, in my short little life, I've seen people who they thought the only thing in life that mattered was evangelism. And they tried to live that way. But I've unfortunately, I don't know that I can name anybody who's really still around that was when. And so what Brother Leonard was saying is the value of a godly life, just lived in your community to the glory of God, is not something small at all. Because some of these people who endeavored to shake the world, and when that didn't work, because the thing is you can't make the world respond. You can hold forth the word of life, but you can't make the world respond. And so when you feel like a failure at that, there's nothing to go back to but the world itself. And I've unfortunately seen that happen. Maybe one thing that I would like to read here in relation to yesterday's topic. I got a little long-winded on my follow-up from Philip's message, and I didn't have a lot of time to share. As you noticed, I think it was about, I looked at my watch, I had about 24 minutes left when I started on my topic. So I didn't want to me, that's a very important subject. If we as young people can find purpose in our singlehood, it's going to be powerful in the kingdom. And so I don't want to just blitz over that. So maybe there's several things I still wanted to say, and maybe we'll fit them in throughout the week here as we continue to look at the theme of living lives with purpose. So we'll see. But I don't know how that's all going to go, so we'll just kind of play it by ear. But one thing that I'll read this morning is just a small paper here called Satisfied in God. Now, Brother Leonard gave you young men, probably more particularly, his exhortation was probably to this side of the room. And maybe what I'm going to read here may be more pertinent over here. It does apply to both, but perhaps more pertinent over here. Satisfied in God. Everyone longs to give himself completely to someone, to have a deep soul relationship with another, to be loved thoroughly, and to be loved exclusively. But God says to the Christian youth, no, not until you are satisfied, fulfilled, and content with me alone, with giving yourself totally and unreservedly to me, with having intensely personal and unique relationship with me alone. Not until you discover that only in me is your satisfaction to be found. Then you will be capable of the perfect human relationship that I have planned for you. You will never be united with that special other until you are united with me, exclusive of any other desires or longing. I want you to stop planning, stop wishing, stop daydreaming, and allow me to give you the most thrilling plan for your life. I want you to have the best. Please allow me to bring it to you. You just keep watching me. Expecting the greatest things. Keep experiencing the satisfaction that I am. You need to keep listening and learning to the things I tell you. You just wait. That's all. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't look at things others have gotten or what I've given them. You just keep looking up to me, or you will miss what I want to show you. And then, when you're ready, I will surprise you with a love far more wonderful than any you could dream of. You see, until you're ready and the one I have is ready, or the one I have for you is ready, until you're both satisfied exclusively with me and the life I've prepared for you, you won't be able to experience the love that exemplifies your relationship with me. And this is perfect love. And dear one, I want you to have this most wonderful love. I want you to see in the flesh a picture of your relationship with me. I want you to enjoy materially and concretely the everlasting union of beauty, perfection, and love. I offer you myself. Know that I love you utterly with all my heart, for I am God. Believe it and be satisfied. So just an exhortation to be satisfied in God. I thought that was a beautiful, well-written article. So today, we move on to our subject today of, in our theme of lives with purpose. We want to look today at impacting our communities, our lives with purpose, and one of those purposes should be impacting our communities. And I wanted to highlight another thing Brother Leonard said was that God doesn't give His gifts to the casual. You remember He said that? You remember that? That really stood out to me. A lot of things he shared stood out to me. It was just a beautiful message, and I'm very thankful for it. But God doesn't give His gifts to the casual. So, brothers and sisters, if you want to experience God in His fullness and all that He has for you, you need to press in. You need to have a soldier mentality. You need to embrace the war. All right, so in our message for today, impacting our communities, it's going to be, there's going to be some hard things about this message. So I'm just going to tell you up front. It's boot camp. And so just don't let me take you off guard, okay? This is boot camp. You should expect a few things, right? Amen? So we're going to look at impacting our communities. I want to read a few scriptures. Why don't you turn to this one? This is one that I want you to turn to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, impacting our communities. It'd be interesting to know how many states are represented here. I know we have a bunch of people from Kentucky, some from Tennessee. Where are some other states we got coming from here today? Iowa? What are other states? Texas? What was that? Ohio? Anybody else? Any other states? Indiana, amen. Anybody else? North Carolina. Michigan? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about impacting our community. So picture your community here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us. Given to us. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, I think it's very well established in our theology that we have been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? That is Jesus is the one who reconciles us with God. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's something we had very little to do with. It was something that God in His eternal purpose chose that way of redemption for us. And He did it Himself, who had by Himself purged our sins. And He reconciled us to God by Jesus Christ. And we had very little to do that, but just to do with it, but just to receive it. A tremendous gift and a tremendous blessing. And we know that, and we embrace that, and we thrill with that, and we love Him because He first loved us. Amen? But then it says here, in this verse here, it acknowledges that we've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. But here's where it gets to be shocking. And has given to us. Look to the person to your left and your right now. And yourself. God has given to us. This motley crew. God has given to us, to Sheldon, to Ashley, to Eva, to Mark. God has given to us The ministry of reconciliation. He did this great and just unbelievably huge reconciling act. And then He hands us the ministry of reconciliation. That is a responsibility. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And He says it again, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. That was His job. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Do we grasp that? We're talking about impacting our communities. A life of purpose. Lives filled with purpose. One of those purposes should be to impact our communities. And to realize that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given to us. He's given to Cyrus the word of reconciliation. It's our job. We were given a tremendous gift and a tremendous job. Don't turn to this one. I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 1:8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonians. They received the word, bunch of heathens. Yes, they were, but they received the word, and from those ex-heathens sounded out the word. See, they received the word of reconciliation, and from them sounded out the word. They impacted their community. In every place, your faith in God word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Romans 10. I want you to turn to this one. Romans 10. You know it. You probably can quote it by heart, but it's good for you to see it. Romans 10, 13 and 14. God has given to us the word of reconciliation, and it should fill our hearts with purpose to impact our communities, the people around us, our neighbors, where we live, with this word of reconciliation. Romans 10, verse 13 and 14. I want you to pay attention to the final question in these two verses. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There we go, that's God's job. To save souls. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they had not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Unless somebody is communicating this word. And we've been given this word. It's been committed to us. It's been given to us. And how are people going to believe unless they hear? And how are they going to hear unless someone tells them? And God is committed to us. Right here in these rows, here at Bible Boot Camp, God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Let that reality settle upon your heart. God didn't give it to the angels. He did not give it to a few specially called people. He's given it to us. I want to read you a verse from 2 Corinthians. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you. Just, you can keep your finger there and ponder that question. How shall they hear without a preacher? And let your heart respond to that. But I want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Have you ever met somebody like that? That didn't matter what, you know, like maybe they were a horse in the bottom of a hole and there was dirt being thrown on them, but they triumphed in Christ. Remember that story, right? There was a horse in the hole and I forget the whole story, but they were throwing dirt on it and the horses stood it down until it was out of the hole. See, that's the way God wants you to triumph in Christ. Every situation, the things that the world throws at you, the things that just the flesh throws at you, that you triumph in Christ and you press it down until you're out of the hole and you're free and you're accomplishing things and you're being faithful. This is what Paul experienced and that's what you can experience. He always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us. He makes manifest the savor of the Savior. The savor, smell, savor of His knowledge by the angels. Is that what your Bible says? What's your Bible say? Maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by creation. Maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by who? By us. Thank you for that, brother. By us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet-smelling savor of Christ. Isn't that amazing? When God smells us, we smell like Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to be. In them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, We are the savor of death unto death. We smell like death. I don't know if you ever noticed that. There's some people that didn't like to be around a serious Christian. And to the other, we're savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? It's a big job. Who is sufficient for these things? On a real quick side note, a little bunny trail here. Savor of death unto death. Savor of life unto life. In the honesty of your heart, I want you to meditate on this question. How are you around people who are all out followers of Christ? Would you rather just kind of skirt away from them? If you are, I'm telling you, it's probably because they're a savor of death unto death. There's something wrong in your heart. But if it's a savor of life unto life, and you find yourself attracted to those kind of people, like, I just want to get around this kind of person a little bit more. I find myself, I'll just say, I feel like, when I listen to Benji, Brother Benji preach and speak, I feel like, wow, I'm really challenged by that. But I'd like to get a little closer to him. I'd like to let a little bit of that rub off on me. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I need some of that. Instead of like thinking, oh my, I need to, how can I get away? Because, there's a difference there. And that's what the world experiences to us sometimes when we truly love Jesus. There are some people who are repelled by that, and that's okay. But the issue is that God wants to make the savor of His knowledge be manifest in every place. By who? By us. Right here. Talk about a life of purpose. To just go around smelling like Jesus. Oh my. What a beautiful thing. What a life of purpose. Impacting our communities. So, I want to think about ways that we can impact our community. Because that was all nice and sounded really good. But how are we really going to bring this down to distill this to our practice? What about tomorrow? What about Saturday? What about Monday of next week? What about January? How are we really going to impact our communities? That's the question. Impacting our communities. This is a purpose that should grip the heart of everyone who knows that God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It should grip our hearts that we should be impacting our community. Amen? Amen. So impacting our community. Here's the thing. When our hearts are overflowing with Jesus, He will spill out in our most basic interactions. Even in our work relationships, the people that we work with, people that we work for, our customers, they should be sniffing this savor of Christ. And I want to point something out here. I noticed that our Liberty revivals, there were some people who were visitors there or who came to those revivals because of somebody they met at work. You know what I'm talking about? I think there's some people who worked at the pallet shop who established a relationship with some truckers. Am I right? Truckers. And had such a pull on those truckers that they got them talked into coming down to the revivals. That's what we're talking about. The favor of Christ. Because here's the thing. We all have just very mundane lives in so many ways. But in that, the purpose of impacting your community, does it affect the way you relate to your truckers? Probably more on this side of the room. Gary Miller in his book, Church Matters, he says that our jobs are the neglected sweet spot. And I totally agree with him. It's amazing. I mean, I can hardly go to town anymore without people talking to me because I don't know them, but they know me. It's amazing because we have a lot of people coming through the shop there. And literally it becomes commonplace. Now I go to town, everybody says, hey, when can you work me a beef in? And, hey, how many gears y'all get by now in? And just on and on. I mean, it's just, I can't go anywhere, it seems like, without people. I'm in Columbia, Somerset, anywhere I go around here, the people who, because of work. And so I'm not saying I do a good job at this, but I'm saying that what an opportunity we have because we're interacting with people. Maybe you only interact with a few people in a week. Is the savor of Christ coming out of your life? Our jobs are often the neglected sweet spot. The very thing that God wants just a tremendous opportunity that God gives to us, we kind of think, well, I'm at work. You know what I'm saying? So we kind of forget our purpose of impacting our community. It's like, well, I'm at work I shouldn't, you kind of keep focused and you kind of ignore people. But even in our interaction with customers, and in the daily life, with our interaction with officials. You know, the other day there was a state police rolled into our work there, and he had a couple questions about somebody he was checking out in the community here. But, you know, when we relate to officials, it's the Savior of Christ coming out. With co-workers, some of us work with people who are maybe not converted. You know, when you're in your work frame of mind, is the Savior of Christ coming out? Is this passion, this purpose to impact our communities, is it flowing out in your work life? You know, people expect you, you know, when you're standing by the street corner, and that's a good thing to do. I'm glad that we're doing some of that, and I want us to keep doing it. But you know, they kind of expect you to be on your best performance. But at work, that's where you get to know the real person. And wouldn't it impact our communities if the real person that your customers and your people encountered at work was somebody who genuinely loved Jesus, who genuinely was unashamed of the Word of God, who genuinely had a care and an interest in others? That would make a difference. That would make an impact in our communities. So, that was my first point. When our hearts are overflowing with Jesus, He's going to spill out in our basic interactions. And that's what I'm calling us to, is to have a heart that's so full of purpose to know God. And so that experience is so rich and so deep that, you know, if I bump this cup right now, what would come out of it? Water, the very thing that's in it, because it's so full of that. This one here, you probably could bump it. And you know how I am up here. I probably will by the time it's over with. And it's not going to come out near as much because it's not full. And when your passion and when your life is full of knowing God, listen, you will make manifest the savor of His knowledge in every place. Here's one I want to say. Here's the thing where we can impact our communities by taking a genuine interest in others. A genuine interest in others. You turn with me to this scripture. This is powerful. Philippians 2, verse 19. We're talking here about taking a genuine interest in others. You know, if you've seen the difference between the counterfeit and genuine, you know, there's something genuine is it's real, it's authentic. And we're talking about having a genuine interest in others. And this is so often what we don't have in our work relationships, in our daily bumping into people. Hey, we're more interested about what we're going to do when we get home tonight and the barbecue we've got planned or whatever it is. That's what, you know, and so we're dealing with this person at that we're dealing with over the quilt or whatever it is that you're whatever, and you just kind of want to get them out of the way so you can get on with important things in your life. Instead of having a genuine interest, I want you to look at this scripture here. Philippians 2, 19 through 21. But I trust in the Lord Jesus, this is Paul speaking here, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now I want you to notice here, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care, notice that word, naturally care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. I don't think I would want to have been associated too much with Paul over that time when he wrote this letter. You know, he said, you know, there's only one man among all the people who helped me out who just naturally cares. You know what I'm saying? I've been like, oh my. Wow. I guess I've got some humbling to do here. I guess I'm pretty self-focused. I guess I'm pretty tied up in my own interests. I'm too busy thinking about what color my shirt is today, or whatever. I don't know. There's millions of things people think about. I don't know. There's a lot of things people think about. But to have a heart that just naturally, here's another person, and to just genuinely care, that is rare as chicken's teeth. And it was, it's just the same thing as it was back then. It was only one man I'm sure there was a lot of people that he associated with. But he, out of all those people, listen to me. We talked about, who was that the other night that was talking about other morning, whenever it was, about the rarity. Like 8 people out of the whole world ended up being saved. And what was the other thing? There was one more thing. What? Who from the children of Israel who made it in the promised land? And you start thinking about that. And those statistics are very scary. But think about this. That is precisely how rare it is. That is. Let's just be honest, okay? As much as we would like to sit here and think to ourselves that all of us are in that place, wouldn't that be a blessing? All of us are just, we just naturally care. But let's just be honest for just a moment. It's pretty rare. Now, it's entirely possible. We can go up and down these rows here. Every one of you can experience that. But it is rare. It is very rare. And let's just admit that. And then, instead of feeling bad about ourselves and feeling condemned, say, well, I guess I'm, oh, just forget it for me. No. Apply yourself. You can do it. You can naturally care. You can. You can naturally care. We could go on now. I wish I had more. Look every blessed one of you in the eyes and let you know. You can naturally care. You can. The problem is very few people have the interest to apply themselves to that. They got too many things they're worried about. They got to keep their covering looking just straight. You know, they got to make sure the barbecue's good tonight. Well, whatever. I don't know. I'm sorry. I keep picking on that. I'm trying to think of things that, like, what are things that really kind of want to surface themselves in our minds sometimes? You know what I'm saying? So sorry about picking on that. What's something I can talk to you all about? But you know what I'm saying. There's things that think about hunting, okay? And I learned a new word for a gun yesterday. I forgot the name of it, but there's, you know, we can think about different models of guns, and we can think about, all the fun we want to have, and the thing is, but no, here's a person right in front of me. And can I put my interest to the side and have a genuine interest in this person? That is rare. And that needs to change. Every one of you all, you can do something about that. You can choose to change. You can become a Timothy that just naturally cares for others. And there's one thing I've decided in my life, and that is that I'm going to, whenever possible, I'm going to bless people instead of spanking them. And I just want to say something. I want to point out people who are doing well. And not to embarrass anybody here or lift up anybody here, but I've had the privilege of knowing someone that I think has really demonstrated a Timothy heart. I'm just going to point him out because many of you know this person. But I'm just going to point him out to you. Emily Smith. Now, don't tell her I said that, okay? Don't you dare tell her I said that. She'd probably be embarrassed. But Emily Smith, in many ways, am I right? Emily Smith, in many ways, has learned to naturally care. Now, listen, if Emily Smith wanted to make a list of all the challenges she's faced in her life, I bet you she could do it. But she chooses not to think about some of the things that she's had to work through and face. But when you're around Emily Smith, even children know it. I've watched it consistently. She naturally cares for others. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other people here that are very similar to that. Sometimes it's good to just point somebody out and say, hey, here's somebody that has got a hold of that. And listen, God wants to make each one of us a Timothy. Amen? Naturally cares for others. And I tell you, if we could get that down, we would impact our communities. We would do it. We would be impacting our communities. I can't wait to see it. A bunch of Timothys. I'm persuaded that we can do it. May God help us. Let's change the statistics. All right, let's see. Here's another thing of impacting our communities. I want to talk just a moment, and this is something I have done horrible at, and please forgive me. But I still want to point it out. It's something I feel like is a very noble way to impact our communities, and that is door knocking. Door knocking. And some of you all have been engaging in that. God bless you. It's an encouragement to me. And here I want to point out somebody. Joshua. My brother Joshua has done very well. Are you here today, Joshua? Okay, he's not here. That's all right. He's done very well at propelling this forward in our midst. And I appreciate that, Joshua. Thank you for that. So, do some door knocking. Talk to Joshua and say, hey, I want to go with you sometime. I want to challenge myself. Let's go do some door knocking. Let's impact our communities. We're talking of impacting our communities. We can hold up signs. I know some of y'all have been doing that in the School of the Prophets. That was part of your requirement. Standing on the street corner holding up a sign. That is a very healthy thing. And that is a way we can impact our community. Yeah, I don't think any rich young ruler came running down there and knelt down before you and said, what must I do to have eternal life? I don't think so. But I know that impacts our community. I know it does. God bless you for that. We're talking about impacting our communities. Some of you all have signs at your properties, and a tornado took ours down the other day. But that's a good way to impact our community. I've had people come to the butcher shop and say, I just thought I was driving into the Holy Land. I said, I get down here off the main road, and there's signs and signs. I was just reading my Bible coming down the road. I thought I'd come to the Holy Land. Do y'all just have Christians living in this community? And but to them, it's like they realize, well, there's something going on here, impacting your community, and there's some young men behind that. Thank you, brothers, for making that happen. I want to talk a bit about meeting physical needs as we think of impacting our community. Cutting wood for a widow. Some of you all have done that. Bless you. That is tremendous. Caring for the down and out. Keep your ears open. You young men, you can do this. Keep your ears open for a need in the community. Not just in the church, but in your community. And talk to some of your dads and some other young men and go and just show up in force and make a difference. Picking up the down and out. That is a way to impact our communities. I have a feeling if you invite those people to your tent revivals, good chance they'll show up. Genuine interest in others, door knocking, holding up signs, meeting physical needs, giving a helping hand. Maybe somebody just broke down beside the road. Just stop. Just that whole mentality of caring about people and what they're going through and just helping, give a helping hand. And some of you all, I'm just going to tell you, do way better than this. At this than I do. God bless you. I appreciate it. That's tremendous. Another one, visiting the sick and dying. And I want to point out Levi for this. Levi has done really well at that. I remember when he was a young man, before he had a lot of other responsibilities, there's always been people in our community that are sick and dying. It's that way all the time. There's always people getting old and always people passing on. And what if you kept your ear open for that? And you and another brother would go and just minister to that person. Ask them about their soul. Read them a scripture pointing to Jesus in their last weeks and months. Levi did that. I watched it with my very own eyes. I know. And I want to point you to that. You talk about impacting your community. What if we weren't afraid of death? What if we didn't need to have a fun game all the time? What if we could walk into a room where there's cigarette butts laying everywhere? And filth and clutter and tobacco juice. And somebody's dying. And you care for their soul. Brothers and sisters, what could we do to impact our community? Talk to Levi about that if you want some good tips. He'd give you some good insights on that. I think we could sing for shut-ins. People who are maybe handicapped or not able to travel much, not able to get out and about. What if on a Sunday afternoon or something, a group of people just dropped in like angels out of the sky and sang? Couldn't we impact our community? What about, like some of you sisters have been visiting widows. God bless you. That's powerful. Thank you for that. That's a tremendous way of impacting our community. Just going and ministering cheer and blessing to widows in our community. That's tremendous. What about literature in our businesses? Where, you know, people come by and they're coming to get something fixed or some, you know, meat or this or that or the other. Whatever it is, the myriads of things that we do. And not only did they get what they needed, but they got what they really needed. A little booklet, a paper, a word from you. That'd be a blessing. We could impact our communities. What if our businesses were little beacons of light in a dark world? That when people came in there, they were exposed to light. Maybe you delivered a barn, you did this, you did that, and somebody bumped into light through you. Through you. We could impact our communities. What if we did more service? Just this whole idea of literature in our business and handed out literature in the course of daily life and work. I'm needy. What about service projects instead of games? You know, I think if you leave a service project for someone in the community, a needy person, I think you'll leave glowing with joy that you've lifted a load instead of emptiness and regret that, you know, I kind of got carried away this evening. And what about hospitality? I wonder I wonder how would it be to be able to, you know, there's somebody in our community down and out. And Jesus said, don't have somebody over. Right? Do you remember that scripture? He said, don't have somebody over. It's going to have you back. And, you know, do a mutual barbecue once a week. You know what I'm saying? He said, don't do that. Pick out somebody that you know good and well. It's never going to be able to have you over again. And have them over. I wonder if we actually did what Jesus said. I wonder how that would impact our communities. Just an idea. I mean, what if we did it? But here's the problem. Young men and young women, sometimes our parents would like to do this, but because they're concerned about our influence, maybe they don't do it as much as they would like to. Oh my. What if our hearts would be in a little better place where our parents wouldn't have to be so concerned about that? What if our purpose was clear? That we want to know God and make Him known. And they didn't have to be, they still need to watch your influences. Don't get me wrong. That's their job, okay? They're close to watch your influences. But they don't need to have to be so nervous and jittery about you. Because you ought to be making your purpose clear. And they'll have a lot less stress, and they can have a lot more people over. Okay? Hear me on that. Young people, that's something you can do. All right. But anyways, our work. We're talking about our work. As Gary says, it's a neglected sweet spot because our work often ends up closing people's mouths. That's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody got a little bit shorted on a business deal, or we got a little tough with them, or they didn't leave on good terms. Listen, in our businesses, people need to walk out feeling like they were valued, like they got good product for their money, whatever it is. That's the way, and when they leave our businesses, we need to have more of a platform than ever to speak into their lives. That's how you know you're doing business right. If your business is zipping your mouth, you've got to change your business practices. We'll never impact our community like that. Change your business. Our business practices should be opening up doors for the gospel rather than closing them. Very important. All right. We've got 10 minutes. Here's something I want to say. I want to say something about our revivals, okay? I know it's been discouraging for me, and I know it's been discouraging for you, that some of the effort we put into revivals, right? And you all know that. And how few people come. And I want to speak a word about that, because we're thinking about impacting our communities, and I want to say something about that to help us process that. Why do so few people come to our revivals? Why isn't it more like the old days when people showed up by the droves to these things? And I believe there could be many reasons. And I want to suggest one, that maybe we've not prayed enough. Maybe we've been too busy sharing funny videos by Bluetooth on our dumb phones instead of praying. Maybe. Maybe there's a lack of prayer. Maybe we've not been helping our community as we could in practical ways and establishing those relationships, because those relationships draw people. And so our invitations all of a sudden are more than a paper hung on their doorknob. It's like, this is a relationship here. I want to go see what these people were going to say. So those may be reasons, and they should make us a little bit uncomfortable. And that's why I said I want you to be a little bit uncomfortable, okay? You need to check your phone usage. You need to check your prayer life. You need to check how are you caring about people in your community. But here's, I think, a bigger reason. I just want to be honest about this. I think a bigger reason is that we are in a time where there's tremendous competition for attention. That's what these tech companies pay big money for, and advertisers pay big money for, because in the world of the internet, it's all about attention, because where the attention is, that's where the money's at. And so these tech companies and entertainment companies are doing a phenomenal job of holding people's attention. And so that's what we're up against. Frankly, we're up against 4K television screens. We're up against Netflix. We're up against YouTube. We're up against TikTok. We're up against Facebook. We're up against Instagram. We're up against Snapchat. We're up against WhatsApp. And the days for big tent revivals might be over. I didn't say they are. I said they might be. But what we really need, if those days are over, I didn't say they are, if they are, what we really need is a quality of Christian experience in our own joyful hearts, in our own deeply connected families. Deeply connected connected families. Not families putting up with each other. Connected families. our own unified church. That way, when the show's over and the emptiness sets in, people will know who to turn to. Who's got answers for the problems of life? Because I tell you, that entertainment, it won't satisfy forever. It produces addictions. It produces all kinds of problems. And there comes a time in every person's life when they're going to look around and say, this isn't working. Who's got something better to offer? And if they catch you passing those stupid videos around on your dumb phone, they're going to know good and well that they haven't found the people yet. But they might see somebody. They may see somebody who knows God, and it just is spilling out of their life, and you bump them, and this knowing God is spilling out. And they see deeply connected families. And they can't even get their family to talk together over pizza because everybody's just in their own little cyber world. In unified church, there's no concept for that. And so when they look around and they see that, they're going to know. I wonder if these people might have some answers for me. Let me check. Let me ask. You get what I'm saying here? We can't change the fact that 4K TVs are here. We can't change the fact that Netflix is here to stay. We can't change the fact that all these competitions. But listen, we can be living the quality of life so that when people are sick and tired of their entertainment and the emptiness of it, that when they look around and look for answers, and when they see you, they know they found something. Is that the kind of life that you and I are living? Is that the kind of life that you and I are living? Is the savor of Christ being made manifest in every place, in our workplace, when people bump into us, that we're naturally caring for them? I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Amber, are you here today? Looks like you are. What's one of the biggest reasons that you're here today? What's one person that really had an impact on your life? Johnny Rule. Now I want you to turn here to the Scripture. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Be ready. I want you to notice this. Be ready always to give an answer. That's a prepared life. A life prepared to impact a community. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. Asketh you. Door knocking is important, but what if you had somebody asking you? Amen? I think we're on to something here. Asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you. So there can be a way that you can live where people literally ask you. And that's the thing about Johnny Rule. Is Johnny Rule sits down there on UT, University of Tennessee, right? Or where? I'm sorry? MTSU. Sits down there, and he has a sign out by him, a little sign there on his backpack that says, "Ask me about Christianity," right? It's something like, I think I'm getting the idea. Yeah, if you have any questions about Christianity or any questions about the Bible, ask me. And so he is setting himself up for people to ask him questions. You know what I'm saying? I want you to look back here. Everybody turn back here and look. Amber, wave to us. Listen, somebody asked. I don't know what all happened. I'm kind of filling in the blanks. But somebody lived in such a way that Amber knew who to ask. And so the question is when our neighbors are burned out on their 4Ks and 8Ks and God only knows where it's going from here, but when they're burned out and sick of the emptiness, are they going to see over your life, "Ask me. I've got something real.
I've got the real deal. And until we have that, we will never impact our communities. We don't need more programs. And I have encouraged a few specific activities here today, and I believe in those activities. But listen, we could have you young people running the streets day after day after day. And until that's in here, until there's a reason, until there's a hope that's in you, so real and so vibrant that people just look at it and know, here's somebody I need to ask about the hope that's in it. So let me just, in the quietness of your heart, ask you, are people asking you about your faith? I don't want you to answer me. I want you to answer God. Are people asking you about your faith? Do they just kind of, in the course of interacting with you, they sense, there's something going on. This person's different. What's going on here? I'm not sure how to ask this, but I'm just curious. You know, and sometimes they don't know how to ask what they're asking. And so, you know, and I feel for people like that because I watch them do it sometimes. And stuff. Do people ever ask you, young person? Do people, and I don't know how it would work over in this side of the room, so I'm going to talk over here. Do people ever ask if you're a pastor? That shouldn't be unusual. Okay? I encourage, you shoot for that. Get this thing so full of purpose, of knowing God and making Him known. It ought to be, I hope before too long, somebody's going to come up to you and say, Jacob, I'm sorry to ask you, but are you a pastor? You know? Because here's the thing. What they sense coming out of your life is love for God, and just you're just naturally caring for others, and they were curious, and they asked you. Listen, see, that's what our world needs. We've got enough entertainment. We're never going to outdo the entertainment industry. Hang it up. Don't even try. Forget it. We're not here to outdo the entertainment. We're here to outdo the living. We're here to outdo the reality. We're here to know God. And when we know Him that way, there will be people who will be knocking on your door. In the meantime, let's knock on some doors. But let's live in such a way that they're going to be hunting you down. That's what I would want to challenge us to here this morning. You know, the biggest hindrance in evangelism is not Netflix, and it's not YouTube, and it's not Twitter. I'm going to tell you something in all sobriety right now. The biggest hindrance to impacting our communities is standing on this platform here this morning, and it's sitting in those benches. It's me. It's my old flesh. It's my old flesh. And it's your old flesh. That is the biggest reason that we're not able to impact our communities as we should. And we've got to be able to deal with the beam in our own life. Jesus said this. Don't turn there because we're running out of time. Matthew 7:3-5, he talks about, why do you behold the mote that's in your brother's eye, but considers not the beam that's in your own eye? How do you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Here's the thing, and this is it's so easy for people, and you think I'm changing the corner here, I'm just bringing this down on self here, where the rubber needs to meet the road if we're going to impact our community. The faults people are least willing to recognize are our own. Oh, it's a dime a dozen. You can find people all over the place who can identify the faults very effectively in others. You know, we could, you know, ask and we just go down through the road and identify all the faults here. But there's only one person that we can really change. You want to impact your community? How many of you want to impact your community? I do. Amen. Thank you. Hands down. Now, you know who the one person in your community that you can totally change? Yours truly. Yes, indeed. And the funny thing is that for some reason that's the one we're least interested in changing. Why is that? I mean, if I could change my father, if I could change my mother, if I could change my boss, if I could change my sister, if I could change my husband, if I could change my wife, if I could change. You know, people spend a tremendous amount of energy, probably enough energy to keep the lights on in Liberty for a month, just trying to worry about other people's faults. But there's only one person. There is only one person in your community that you have entire control over. And that's the person that you're least concerned about. Now, tell me if that makes any sense. But it's human nature. So when we talk about impacting our communities, this gets right down to home. It needs to start right here. This is the guy. Willis, in your community, this is the guy that you need to start with. The one person we can really change, the one person that we can really impact for the kingdom the most, we're least interested in. It'd be so much easier to justify ourselves. And I'm going to start justifying myself running over time. So we're going to wind her down right there. You meditate on that. And so we want to impact our communities. But brothers and sisters, until we're so full of knowing God, and we need to not be self-focused, we need to be others-focused, but we do need to deal with this old flesh right here. And when we deal with this old flesh right here, it's going to break open the alabaster box. And the Savior of Christ is going to be all over the place. Let us pray. Father, take these words to our hearts. Lord, we want to impact our community. There's so much to say and so little time to say it. Father, would you take these words and apply them by the Holy Spirit in every heart? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.